want to turn your thoughts for a little while this morning as we gather for this service of thanksgiving to a few words out of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 3 and verse 10. You will find the words that we want to consider. It says, "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Say you to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." The Lord here is instructing the prophet to communicate a message to the people of his day. But that message that the prophet had to communicate at the direction of the Lord to the people of his day is also appropriate to you and I today as we gather here. The Word of God is applicable to every generation. It has a message for every generation. These words are timeless because the truth that is contained in them, as they were spoken by Isaiah and as he communicated them to the people of his time, the message is still appropriate for us today. And it speaks about the well-being of the righteous. "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him." I'm sure everybody wants it to be well with them in death. But as we'll come to see, these words are very particular. And how important that it is well with us. And we can gather here today and say that it is well with Sam Cole. It is well with his soul. That we can have a confidence and assurance of where he is. In that hymn there that we've just been singing, what a hymn of testimony it is. And that verse that speaks there about the death dew, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And when we come to die, you find the worth of knowing Christ as Saviour. Now, the Christian knows the worth of knowing Christ during life. Salvation is not just a blessing that only kicks in when we come to die. Salvation is a blessing that we enjoy from the moment that we are saved right through all of our life. In fact, the Bible would suggest that it grows and develops and becomes fuller and fuller. And that moment in death, certainly it becomes much fuller then because we enter into the presence of the Savior. And even then, we still await the day of the resurrection of the body, when in all its fullness, we will partake of the blessings of redemption. But certainly when a person comes to die, it is important that it can be said of that individual, "Is it well?" Remember that question was asked, if you know the Word of God, it was asked of Elisha. It was asked by Elisha the prophet, "Is it well?" Because he saw a woman that he had known and he had helped, actually had raised up her son, and he saw her coming towards him, and he knew the circumstances were unusual and there had to be something wrong. And he sent his servant, "Go and meet her, ask her, is it well with her? Is it well with her husband? Is it well with the child?" That's always an important question to ask ourselves. And certainly one that I would like you to ask yourself today. As we gather here to give thanks for the life of Sam Cole, I know that he would have me to ask you that question. Is it well with you? Is it well with your soul? Not so much, is it well with you in life? Is it well with your bank balance? Is it well with your health? All of those questions could be addressed, but even particularly in the times that we're living in. If somebody was inquiring about your well-being, you would appreciate it. But it's not any of those matters that I want to address today. I want to ask you about your soul. Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Because this verse of Scripture here says, "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." How important it is to be able to answer and say, "Yes, it is well." If you know any good Christian hymns, I'm sure you're thinking about that hymn that was written after a tragedy, actually. And that man penned that hymn. I think it's 351 in our hymnal. But the chorus is, "It is well, it is well with my soul." That man knew a lot of tragedy in his family. Some of his family had perished in a disaster on a boat that sank. Ship that sank across the Atlantic. But he wrote those words, it is well with my soul." I wonder today, can you answer that? Sam Cole could answer it that way when he was alive and among us, and if he was asked about spiritual things. He could testify as well with my soul. We've mentioned there in the tribute about that time in his life's experience when he came to Christ, 1962. He has that wee leaf. I was with Jonathan and Judith yesterday, and they were showing me the little leaf in his Bible that he had from a daily reading series that he'd evidently taken out and put into his Bible that very day that he had come to Christ. And on the back of it, he had written those words that were mentioned there in the tribute. I'm saved. It's well with his soul. And I trust that it would be well with your soul and my soul. And if it's not well, then surely that is something that we need to address. I want you first of all here to consider the subject of these words. Because these words are not addressed to all and sundry. They're addressed to one particular group. They're addressed to those who are righteous. The prophet is told, say you to the righteous. He wasn't just to declare this to everybody in the land. It is reckoned that Isaiah was the prophet in Jerusalem. Micah the prophet ministered at the same time. And commentators believe that he was the prophet to the countryside in a sense. That Isaiah was the prophet of the city of Jerusalem. He was the prophet of the royal household. But he wasn't to go into the royal house and just announce it to everybody. He wasn't to go through the royal city and tell everybody, oh, it's well, it's well, it's well with everybody. There's a gospel that is preached today, and it has that flavor to it. It's well with everybody. You can believe what you want, and you'll all get to heaven in the end. That's a lie, men and women. That's a lie. On the authority of God's word, I say it is a lie. And I bring you to no other verse than to this. I could take you to other portions of Scripture as well, but we don't have to go anywhere else. We only have to consider the words here in verse 10. Say ye to the righteous, and we'll come to the next verse. If you know it, or if you've got a Bible, maybe you're already looking at it, or I'll read it in a moment or two, but there's a contrast here we'll get to in a moment. But it says here in verse 10, say ye to the righteous. It is only to the righteous that these words can be said, it is well with them. Now, the obvious question is, well, who are the righteous? Who's in view here when this description is given? Well, the Word of God tells us that there is none righteous by themselves. None righteous by themselves. Paul quotes the Psalms there in Romans where he makes that fourfold declaration. And one of those clauses in that fourfold declaration is that there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous by ourselves. Not an individual, no matter how upright and respectable an individual might be, no matter what we might think of ourselves, we might endeavor to be the very best individual that we can, and that's very commendable. But that doesn't make you or I righteous in God's eyes. That might make you righteous in the eyes of your neighbor, or your friend, family member, or society. Somebody in society might look on and think, well, there's a very righteous individual. But when we come before God, and that's the all-important matter, in God's eyes, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. So how can it be then that these words are said, well, say ye to the righteous and to none other that it's well? How can we become righteous if the Word of God says that we are unrighteous in God's sight? If the Word of God says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight, then how can we be righteous? Well, that's why Jesus Christ came into the world. Jesus Christ came into the world to make sinners righteous, to make the unrighteous righteous in God's sight. That's the purpose for his coming. He came to be more than just a teacher and an example and a miracle worker. He was all of those things. But primarily he came to provide a righteousness for sinners. There's one of those wonderful titles for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the next book along, the book of Jeremiah. There's actually a hymn, Robert Murray McShane's hymn, Jehovah Sakenu, the Lord our righteousness. It's one of those titles that's given to Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness. He came to provide a righteousness for sinners. We have none of ourselves. And do not think, if you're here this morning, and many of you are strangers to me, so I will say this, if you are here this morning and you think that somehow you can get into heaven by your own righteousness, you are totally misunderstanding what the Word of God says. You will not get in. I will not get in. None of us will get into heaven because of our own righteousness. Because as it tells us in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, they are as filthy rags in God's sight. And the ideas of that which is actually putrid, that's what God thinks of our righteousness. But he sent his Son into this world to provide a righteousness. And Sam Cole discovered that. He realized that and acknowledged that he had no righteousness of his own. And back in 1962, he sought the Lord for Christ's righteousness. That's what it is to come to know Christ as Savior. You can call it by many different terms, being saved, being converted, being born again. All of those are scriptural terms. But when we come to say, well, what is it to be born again? What is it to be saved? When Sam Cole wrote on the back of that wee note, I was saved, what did he mean by that? Well, the Bible means by that terminology is that we have received Christ's righteousness. We have taken that which has been provided for us by Jesus Christ. He came into this world. He lived a perfect life. He died an atoning death. And in his life and death, he has provided for sinners a righteousness that they can come and avail themselves of. And that's what happened in Sam Cole's life. That's what needs to happen in every one of our lives. We need to come and avail ourselves of this righteousness. Of this righteousness. There's a man in Scripture who thought he was very righteous. I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus as he was initially known as. And he tells us in Philippians of some of the things that he boasted in. And he thought that because of who he was and what he was, that this would gain him a righteousness with God. And he tells us in Philippians chapter 3, he says, if people have got anything to boast of in the flesh, I'm more. He says, here's what I was boasting of. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of the Hebrews, says, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's what he thought of himself. He thought he was blameless. He actually had the opinion of himself that nobody could find fault with him with regards to keeping the Jewish law. He says, I thought I was blameless. But Saul of Tarsus discovered that his righteousness in God's sight was worth nothing. And in verse 9 of that chapter, he goes on then to describe what he came to discover and what happened in his life. And he says in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That's what he had prior. That's what he boasted in, and he thought he was blameless. He says, no, be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, Saul of Tarsus came that day on the Damascus Road to obtain Christ's righteousness as his own. That's what happens in the life of every converted soul. Every individual who's born again, that's what happens. They come to avail themselves of Christ's righteousness. That is a righteousness that has been provided by Christ. And then a sinner comes and avails themselves of that righteousness. Takes that righteousness to themselves. Realizes that they need that righteousness. And that's what happened in Sam Cole's life back in 1962. That's what happens in the life of every Christian. Because it's interesting in this statement here in Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10 that it changes from the singular to the plural. It says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. And then it says, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. And it highlights a very obvious point about salvation. Salvation is a very personal matter. You can't get saved in a crowd. An individual has to come as an individual to Jesus Christ and seek him for salvation. You must come as an individual. Nobody can bring you. Certainly people can pray for you and witness to you and exhort you and encourage you to come. And I know that Sam Cole has done that with many an individual. And again, maybe you're here today and he has spoken to you in the past about your need to come to Christ. But you must come personally. You must come personally. And then, having come personally, you join a great company of the redeemed. Then the individual becomes the multitude. You join a company of the people of God because there's a multitude, the Bible says, who are righteous, who have come to Christ. A multitude that no man can number will be saved, the Bible says. So have we availed ourselves of Christ's righteousness? Because if we have, then these words are applicable to each one who has. If we have not come to Christ, if we have never acknowledged our need of Christ's righteousness, then these words are not applicable to you and cannot be said of you, because they are only applied to the righteous. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well. And that time in 1962 when Sam Cole came to trust in Jesus Christ and partake of that righteousness that is provided on the grounds of what Christ has done, now it can be said of Sam Cole, it is well. It is well with Sam Cole. It is well with every Christian. It is well with every Christian. I want, just briefly for a moment, to think about the content here. What does it mean to be well? When the message is given to Isaiah, tell the people who are righteous that it is well. What does that mean? Well, I'll draw your attention to one phrase in the book of the Revelation where it says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. There is a blessing to die in Christ. We all are going to die as the Lord tarries. Unless he comes, we are all going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die. There is a day appointed for all of our death. Just the same way as there was a day appointed for our birth. So in the sovereign purpose of God, there's a day appointed for our death. And you and I cannot go beyond that. Sam Cole could not go beyond the day appointed for him. The other evening was his appointed time today. We all have to die. But there's a blessing with as well. It was indicated there in that poem that I read, that was found in Sam's wallet. There is a sense of the Lord's presence with his people. There are many blessings, but I just want to highlight that one this morning. There is a sense of the Lord's presence. The Lord is with his people. The Bible describes death as the last great enemy. Death is an enemy. Now, what must it be to face death on your own? Oh, you can have family around the bedside, but they can't enter into someone's journey to the river of death. They may gather around the bedside, they may hold someone's hand, they may seek to be there right until the very end, but they cannot go down the valley with an individual. And death is an enemy. It's like going to meet an enemy on your own, with no comfort and no hope and no assurance. That's what it's like to die out of Christ. But if you know Christ as your Savior, there is the promise in Scripture that you have the Savior's presence. And Jonathan and Judith did have the opportunity to be with their father, and were thankful for that, even in these times that they were able to get into the hospital for a number of days before his passing, and they were able to spend time with him. And they appreciate that, and no doubt Sam did as well. But only the Savior can journey with you down the road to the valley, down the valley and to the river of death. Only the Savior. And that's the promise. That's the one of the blessings that belongs to the child of God. It is having the sweet presence of the Lord. So there is a blessing that belongs to the child of God. But if I can minister some comfort from the Word of God here to Jonathan and Judith, there is comfort for the sorrowing, to know that it is well. It is well with their father. And however else you were related or connected with Sam, you can say, it was well. It's well with Sam today. Yes, we're here and his earthly remains are with us in this house, and we're going to go to the graveside just shortly. But his soul has departed the body. That's what death is, the departure of the soul from the body. That's the first death. And it's well. And there's comfort in that, and I trust the Lord will indeed comfort. I'll finish off quickly with the contrast, because I did say there's a contrast that follows on. Because in the verse 11, I'll read the two verses, so you just pick it up again. Verse 10, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Woe unto the wicked. There is a contrast. There are two types of people in the world. There are those who are righteous, and there are those the Bible describes as wicked. And the wicked are those who are condemned in God's sight. That's what the word wicked in the Bible means. We might use the word wicked to refer to somebody who's grossly sinful and does heinous things. We might say somebody's very wicked. Well, that's a different way of using the word wicked than the Bible uses. The Bible uses the word wicked in the sense of somebody who is condemned in God's sight. There's only two types of people in the world. Either the righteous who have come to Christ, or the condemned or the wicked. And the Bible says it is not well with them. And you'll notice that contrast in the book of the Revelation there as well, where we're reading from. Chapter 21, the first 7 verses of that chapter deal with the blessings of the redeemed in the New Jerusalem. And then verse 8 speaks about those with whom it is not well. There's always that contrast. And as I close this morning, I would ask you, which side of the divide are you on and I on? Are we in Christ, having obtained his righteousness? Therefore it is well with us. That's how it was with Sam Cole. Or is there someone here this morning and you might be upright and decent, respectable, church-going, but you've never come to Christ? My friend, I want you to realize it's not well with you. You need to come to Christ. It's not church you need. It's Christ as your Savior. Come to know Sam Cole's Savior. Even today, come to know his Savior. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts.